I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I'm here with the super millennial, giving us the millennial perspective, Dave Barreto. How you doing, big man?
I'm doing good. These intros are getting better and better.
I just want to go crazy on the intro. My mentor, JB Glossinger, he's the best intro ever.
Yeah,
that is. You know, I mean, he's the best. I can never top him. I always try to. He taught me well, but he's got talent that I don't have. That's just that simple. So this week, our topic is leadership. Today's Connection Thursday. We're going to discuss transcendent leadership. So, Big D, you got anything before we get started? Are you ready to rock into this thing?
I'm ready to rock it. All I got to say is stay tuned for next week, because we will have more information on a lot of things coming up.
Okay. We're excited. We're very excited about everything that we're doing, and the coaching's kicking off, everybody. So we'll talk about that next week also. Okay? So this week, we have been talking on leadership, and today we're going to talk on transcendent leadership. And this week, I would say, David, you'd agree with me, we've established that we are each leaders in some capacity in our lives.
Yeah.
Right? We understand that. So leaders help themselves and others to do the right thing. In the energy of integrity, 200 courage, leaders can set direction. Leaders inspire vision. Leaders work and lead in the expansion state, base energy, courage, creating something new. This is a leader in the expansion energies of the mountain. They are dynamic, exciting, and inspiring. Now, this is versus leaders in the restriction state, base energy, fear. These leaders are worried, manipulative, frustrated, they can be harsh, and are usually very aggressive. There's the difference in leadership from the vibration that one is in. You understand that, right?
Absolutely. And I think everybody can listen now and think of your leaders, and you can kind of pinpoint which one's which.
And so today we're going to discuss transcendent leadership and the transcendent leader. Transcendence is experience beyond the normal. Transcendence is that ability to expand and go beyond normal limits. The transcendent leader has the quality of leadership, the vision to lead and go beyond normal limits and normal boundaries. So Winston Churchill was a transcendent leader. Churchill's leadership basically saved the world from Hitler and Nazi Germany. I don't know if you remember that studying that in school.
Yeah.
But he basically saved the world. Churchill, being a transcendent leader, stood alone in Britain when he went against Hitler before World War II. So when Hitler was making his moves in Europe, it was only Churchill who was standing up against him. And Churchill was very unpopular, ridiculed by the Britain's elite. They viewed Churchill as obsessed over Hitler and what Hitler's true aim was. Now, Britain's government and elite wanted to become allies of Germany. Can you imagine? And only one voice stood out, Churchill's. And as history would prove, Churchill's assessment of Hitler was remarkably accurate. So Churchill was a man with many personal demons. People don't know this. He worked on himself daily. And it was actually through this personal development that he became this transcendent leader. Churchill developed the traits of the transcendent leader. He was personally fearless. He was battle-tested. During the Battle of Britain, this is when German bombers flew over London. The whole purpose was to wreak havoc and spread terror. That's all they wanted to accomplish. And Churchill actually refused to hide in the bunkers. Instead, He went up on top of the rooftops. That's where he went while they were bombing out, trying to scare the population. Can you imagine seeing your leader do that?
No. It doesn't right? even sound like a – that's not just like a leader move. That sounds like the people watching is like, this man's insane.
Exactly. See, Churchill's transcendent leadership was not just about being a fearless warrior also. He was also extraordinarily eloquent in the way that he touched the hearts of all. Churchill was a motivator. He had the talent to use words to inspire others to act. This is a powerful trait of the transcendent leader. His speeches combined realism and hope. They were pointed, not sugar-coated. Yet, at the same time, they always sparked within the followers, his followers, a glimmer of better days ahead, a path to victory. So, this is important. Understanding the stress mastery energies, you could see how Churchill's energetically, how he, his leadership energetically moved the people of Britain. Through his behavior and actions and words, he offered them hope. This prevented the nation from falling into that low red zone energy. See, if Hitler had been successful in the Battle of Britain, the nation would have fallen into that low red zone energy and apathy. They would have fallen into hopelessness and given up. Think about that. They were the stronger of the army. Mm-hmm. They were much stronger than Britain. Churchill's transcendent leadership actually prevented this from happening. If you slow down and you look at the energetic ploy of what he was doing, he couldn't fix what was going on, but he could give them hope. And that's what he did. So when you give the people hope, where do they go? Into fear. And if they go into fear, at least they can fight.
Yeah.
It's not hopeless. They don't give up, mm-hmm. right? So his leadership, he had his leadership with words. He was always inspiring. And some of the things that he has said have lived throughout history. I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. This was their finest hour. Victory at all costs, victory in spite of all terror, victory however long and hard the road may be, for without victory, there is no survival. Now, this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. Winston Churchill was a transcendent leader, and Churchill surrounded himself with men and women of talent instead of yes men like so many leaders did then and do now. Churchill worked his people to the bone. He was resilient. He worked everybody hard, but also he followed suit and worked even harder than they did. Churchill loved his people. He would literally go to the bombed out sites, not for photo ops like other politicians, but to connect to the people. He actually would cry openly at the stories of loss and destruction. This is a transcendent leader. And people don't, you know, they see the movies on him. They do not realize what this man did. And do you realize that after World War II was over and everything else, the people actually voted him out of office? Mm-hmm. I never understand it.
Yeah.
Right? You never understand the human being. You never understand that collective consciousness, right? But thank God that he was leading Britain, because the whole world would look different today if it wasn't for one man, one leader that was not afraid of being unpopular. Your thoughts, David?
Yeah, I think the idea of hope is one that is awesome, because I said it yesterday, when a leader can instill a vision into his followers, that means there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I think that's the part where most people don't see is that, you know, when a doctor tells one of their patients that there's it's going to be a fight, but when you come out of this, it's like, okay, when I come out of this, there is another, you know, world, essentially, literally, for in this case, an entirely different world.
Yes.
At the end of this, it was bigger than himself. And I think that's what you said about the other politicians, that it was about them and the opportunity. But what he did, I mean, standing up top of a bomb, getting bombed buildings,
it's crazy.
Going to the sites, showed that he was not for himself, but he was the people that he was fighting. He's fighting for himself because he is the people. You know, and I think that's a leader. A leader doesn't segregate
themselves. That's a transcendent leader, because think about that, Dave. Transcend is to rise or go beyond limits. It's to triumph over negative or restrictive aspects. Mm-hmm. You see, you're right. Transcendent leaders rise above or go beyond the limits of self, beyond their programming of self, the ego. They go to the self, the true self. That's where transcendent leaders make it a habit to triumph over limitations of what might be considered acceptable or possible. See, these type of leaders never settle for mediocrity. They do not operate from the cage mind. These type of leaders that operate from the cage mind operate through scarcity. Operate through force. They allow the ego to set their state in restriction, base energy, fear. But the transcendent leader operates from the creation mind. That was Churchill. They function from their true self, connected to purpose, connected to imagination, connected to faith, connected to gratitude, connected to the superconscious mind. In other words, connected to spirit. So transcendent leaders are always working on growth. They're always moving themselves. Hear what I'm saying? They're always moving themselves up the mountain, increasing their habitual state to mid and upper green zone energy levels. There are certain qualities of a transcendent leader, and these qualities are what Churchill displayed. Do you have any questions before I go into these, or any comments?
No, I think this is when people say a born leader. It's not the one that can tell people what to do. It's to literally transcend, feel the people, but also become selfish with the capital S to work on themselves. Not because it's for themselves. Again, it's for others.
And there will never, ever be a transcendent leader who doesn't work on himself, because you can't. And I'll get into that. So let's look at what are some of the qualities of a transcendent leader that Churchill displayed. One is awareness and acceptance. See, the transcendent leader becomes a master at dealing with conflict. They learn quickly that they must develop the ability to move out of fear. You can't lead somebody in fear. So they develop that ability to get out of fear so they can lead with integrity into green zone energies. They learn acceptance of cultural differences. They see others. You know what I mean by that, right? They see that person, not their ego, not their behavior. They see others. They may not like certain beliefs or the differences of opinion, but they can be an acceptance, that 350 energy, and not label a person right or wrong. So a transcendent leader has awareness and acceptance. A second thing they have is presence. They have the ability to find the now. Transcendent leaders cultivate the skill to become present. And it is a skill. This allows them to lead and deal with conflict from the state, event, awareness, and response. Transcendent leaders will boldly lead. They will also be open, ready to listen, willing to learn, able to do. Presence, when conflict arises, requires discipline. What is the discipline? To slow down, despite all the distractions of others running around in the problem. The transcendent leader will slow down, and that's a discipline. It allows them to be able to respond. So the second thing is, a transcendent leader has presence and the ability to find the now, to slow down. The third thing is they have courage. Transcendent leaders will display consistent integrity of behavior. This is set through that 200 courage energy. These leaders have let go of the old identity held in the valley in 100 fear. Transcendent leaders have a single school that sets their course. This is the school of experience. They know and do not get caught in judgment and the state of restriction-based energy fears. So the third thing that a transcendent leader has is courage. The fourth thing is they live in gratitude. The transcendent leader operates from the consciousness of the heart, the creation mind. This moves them to operate from a consciousness of service. That's what you were saying. It's not about them. It's about serving the bigger humanity picture. Mm-hmm. Now, gratitude is a superpower of the heart. And that gratitude and that heart connection is derived from the word grace. Living in a state of grace extends past what people call positive thinking. This state increases optimism, compassion for others, and for their growth and expansion. So the fourth thing a transcendent leader has is gratitude. The fifth thing is they live for the highest good. The transcendent leader operates from the consciousness of the highest good of all concerned. This process of highest good goes toward all those who happen to be following the leader, but it also goes towards those that might provide a service, such as you have a business, you're leading your people, but also the vendors of that business are important. A true transcendent leader has their highest good in place also. The transcendent leader is looking for expansion, increased consciousness, well-being for everyone that they connect with. So what are your thoughts on those dynamic principles of the transcendent leader?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because a lot of it, I feel like it's well-known, but it's not known why. You know, people say, well, a leader can keep his calm, his head during, you know, crazy situations. That's being present and in the moment and allowing to slow down and, you know, respond to whatever's happening. So people know this, they just don't know why it's like that. And that's why I think so many people don't believe they can become leaders, is because, oh my God, in that situation, I would have freaked out. Yeah, because you weren't present. You weren't slowing down. You weren't connecting. And that's why I say, especially like in the beginning of this episode, everyone can be a leader. You just need to know how. These leaders are doing this and we're labeling it as, oh, he's a natural leader. He was able to keep his calm. Nobody asked why.
Yeah, Winston Churchill was not a natural leader. He developed his leadership. Exactly what you're saying.
And that's why I think so many people discredit themselves in the ability to become leaders, is because you are saying the apathy, I can't, you know?
Yep.
I'll follow. I'll become a follower. And if you follow the right leader, then God bless you. You've gotten a great leader, but you're still a leader to someone else. And you have to remember,
we're always leading. So let's expand on that. That's really good, because if we look at it, leadership matters today more than ever. Mm-hmm. But the old brand of leadership, I'm the boss, do what I tell you, is dead.
Yeah.
If you lead that way, I guarantee you're going to have a hard life, stressed out and struggle. Today's leadership must be based on purpose, inspiration, caring, and compassion. All elements of that transcendent leader. You cannot get these elements of leadership in school. Mm-hmm. Sorry, they're not teaching, oh, let me teach purpose, inspiration, caring, and compassion in this course in business school. Not happening. There is no degree in inspiration, caring, and compassion. There isn't. So to become a leader for today's world, you must self-author your identity and become a transcendent leader. There is no way you're born to lead the way Churchill led, especially today. So if we understand everything that you've been learning here at Stress Mastery, the human being is hardwired for behavior. This behavior is dictated by what is held in mind. The mind holds the programming set for you from past generations. If you are not actively working personal development every day, as Winston Churchill did, you will be the leader of yesteryears gone by. That's a fact. The world is changing too fast. You must change and work to change your identity. The world is too fast now. Things are happening too fast. This is the process of the steps and techniques of stress mastery. It's about shifting. This shift in identity doesn't take place accidentally. The human being understanding this is bound by fear. That's the human being. This is why so few change or even take the first steps to create change. Because we humans are built for survival, our brain, our mind, our body are bound to negativity. We talked about it in last week's or 2 weeks ago, the power of negative thinking. We got to understand the human being. We're designed to protect the identity set from generations past. So identity and reality are interchangeable. A change in identity will create a change in reality. And so when it comes to leadership, we talked about it all week. We're all leaders. And if you want to really step up and change the world, stop bitching on Facebook and step up and become a transcendent leader. You have to answer the question, what kind of leader will you choose to be? And I'm going to close this with some leaders that you guys may not understand. We talked about Winston Churchill. So let's talk about Chelsea Courtright. Chelsea Courtright's a third grade teacher. That's what her degree says. But Chelsea Courtright is a transcendent leader. She's out to change the way the teaching profession connects with their students. She's out to change this. She's one person, just like Winston Churchill, and she's put together a plan of how she's going to do it. And that's a transcendent leader. It's not somebody leading Google or this. It's that teacher that says, we can do a better job at teaching. The system doesn't work. I am going to go and change the system. And all you naysayers out there, just watch this kid. Then I bring in Kevin Barreto. Kevin Barreto's going to school. He's going to school to become a PA. That sounds like a regular job, right? He's following the cultural story. But Kevin Barreto doesn't live in a cultural world like that. He lives for experience. Him and his wife are getting ready to go to Africa. They went to India. They went to, why? That's a transcendent leader. He's showing people how to live through experience instead of working your whole life and then trying to retire, then to have the experiences. He's doing it now. Let's talk about Alexandra Courtright, my daughter. She went tradition. Talk about intelligence. Yeah. She has 3 degrees. She is a psychologist. She is a registered dietitian, and she has a degree in hospitality. Now, she was making a lot of money working clinics, and she stepped away because she's a transcendent leader and wanted to build something different in the catering world. She liked to cook. She wanted to create conscious catering. And so that's a transcendent leader, right? Do you know any other ones?
I know a lot of them.
Do you know one that's very specific to this show? Who's a transcendent leader?
You, me?
Not me, you. So David is a transcendent leader. Why? Well, he was going to school just like he was taught and programmed to go to school. His whole family is like that, you know, go to school or get a job or follow the script. And David cut the script off entirely, moved to Miami, went into the clinics, became a coach, decided, you know what? I'm going to follow the old man and I'm going to go become an entrepreneur without knowing a damn thing about it. But what's he doing? He's a transcendent leader. Not only is he leading in our company, but he's showing others that you don't have to follow the script, that you can have a lot of freedom and you don't have to wait till you're 65 to get your freedom. You can do what you love and you can do it right because today's world isn't like yesterday's world. That's a transcendent leader. And so that's, I just gave you four examples of four people that aren't even 30 years old yet. Those are transcendent leaders. Transcendent leaders are not what you think. They are the people that step out of the box. They step out of the box and they lead. And they lead through things that are not like you're taught in school. They lead through purpose. They lead through inspiration. They lead through showing people through their behavior, inspiration, caring, and compassion that you can be, you don't have to wait for to feel fulfillment when you're old. Because that's what my generation thought. Oh, you work hard, you get old, and then you have fulfillment and you go and enjoy your life. But the problem with that is there's no energy to do it. And most times it never happens the way it was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, it's transcendent leadership. It's the example of these young millennials taking the bull by the horns, which is culture, and creating change. But having the courage to do it because they have to deal with the family. Chelsea has to deal with the whole establishment. Mm-hmm. Alex had to deal with me and my partners in the clinics, right? My partners lost their mind when she left. They could not understand it. And so that's transcendent leadership. It's not Winston Churchill, even though he is a transcendent leader. You don't have to wait to be a Winston Churchill. Everybody's a leader. The question is, do you want to lead from fear? Do you want to be a restriction leader? Do you want to be, I'm the boss, do what I tell you, leader? I don't care if you're leading a group at work or you're leading your children. If that's the type of leadership that you're passing on, well, it's they're going to be a sad world because that type of leadership cannot exist in today's world. I know. I'm out there. I'm in companies. I work in corporations. I've been doing this for 40 years. I know it can't work because the world changed. And if we can't change with the world, then what's going to happen is the world will swallow you. The world's not going to stop while you catch up. Okay, that's my tangent. It's all yours.
No, it's funny because I actually was going to say something very similar along the lines of, you know, changing with the times. And I think for some people, they feel like leadership has a retirement age, you know. You're always, until the day you die, you're a leader. My grandfather, the day he passed away, still. And I think that's important because so many people look at like millennials that have job hopped. You know, that's the term they like to use. It's like, why have you had six jobs in the last year or so? And most of the time, you're not asking, why did you leave that job? It's why can't you keep a job? And millennials figured it out. The culture in the companies or the industry they want to work in isn't aligning with something bigger. Well, guess what? Now when your company is going under and things like that, well, we can't keep up with technology and you are in competition with the person who wanted to work with you and help that company thrive. And they said, you know what? I'll build the culture I want to work in. And that's why you see so many successful 25-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds are millionaires now with multi-million dollar mm-hmm. companies because they're hiring people who are aligned with what they want. That vision is there. And I think the people that are upset about it, their vision has expired. You've reached that light. What is there? You're trying to hold on to it and it's starting to extinguish on you. You know, and I think that becomes the issue. If you hire in, I think that's the big reason why me and you work so well is because in the clinic,
I told you when I first met you, I didn't buy into a lot of the stuff that you were teaching. You know, I really, it's so foreign to me. Like you said, that was completely against the script, but I watched you day in and literally day out do exactly what you preached. And then I said, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And I saw it work. And I saw you change to work with me and make it work. And it changed me. And I think that was the thing that I saw, is that in the beginning, I didn't see your vision. You know, I really didn't. I was, all right, I'm going to trust this guy. And as I started to develop the same things that we're talking about, my vision aligned with it because I can see the same light. And I think that's the thing, is that I didn't believe in it because, like I said, I didn't know how to become a leader. Can he stay calm under pressure? What the hell does that mean? You know, can he delegate properly? What does that mean? When I started to understand what that meant and I started to become a leader and realized that I was actually a leader the whole time, I was able to step my game up knowing that there's always someone watching me. And I think that's the part that people miss, the younger generation and the older. Oh, I'm old, they're going to go off what my life is. No, they're going to go off what you're doing right now. You know, what's your legacy? It's what you're doing right now is still your legacy. And so many people forget that. They think leadership has a retirement age, or they think leadership has like an eligibility age. Oh, I got to be 25 years old in order to be a leader. I have to be 30. It doesn't. You could be the fifth grader making waves for the next generation coming up. That person is going to be the next, you know, business leader, or you never even know, the next president, the next whatever. It does. You don't know when it starts, and it doesn't end when you say so. It ends when people stop following you because you stop being the example. And I think that's such an important thing to take away.
And I think the transcendent leader is where everybody needs to strive to go to. Mm-hmm. What Churchill displayed saved the world.
Yeah.
But nowadays, leadership's never been more important because everything's changing so fast. You don't want to be Blockbuster.
Yeah.
It's a lack of leadership that ended Blockbuster. They could right now be the number one platform in the world. They had it first, mm-hmm. and they just couldn't see it. For me, I see how the business developed. Our whole business is that community. And I love it. Well, I couldn't build that. I needed David. I needed a millennial. I needed somebody who understood. I didn't know that. But that's what I'll say to my generation. If you can't be open and ready to listen and willing to learn and able to do, you're going to have a very sad life. You can sit there and wish about the good old days. I never want to go back to the good old days. I don't want to have a day when I don't have things on my phone. I don't want to have a day that I can't do this and David can live somewhere else. I don't want another day without technology. I love technology. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I'm attached to it. It doesn't control me, but I'm getting ready for another contest. I love how I can track and do things and stuff I never could do in the past. So if you're my age, and that's a baby boomer and probably right below me, you guys got to open up. And I know that's uncomfortable. Of course it's uncomfortable. You have to admit you don't know shit anymore. Because if you have a degree, if you have a medical degree from 10 years ago, you still think you know medicine from what you learned 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. Really? As fast as science is changing? Be honest with yourself. If you have a business degree, a marketing degree, holy crap, you know, and you think you know marketing 10 years ago now? Wow. Stop. You don't.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what, you know, this whole week was about.
Yeah,
this week. There's a reason I picked the topic with leadership.
Yeah, and I believe it definitely goes both ways. I mean, the millennial is going to know things that the older generation doesn't, but that's not to discredit that the older generation has been through hell and back on things that we will never have to experience because they went through it. And that's how you avoid it. I said it in probably like 100 podcasts. Everyone's going to make mistakes. Your job is to make less. And you only do that by learning by the mistakes of those in front of you and learning from them, not just saying, oh, you screwed up, I'm not going to follow you. It's how did you mess up? What would you have changed? Would you do something different? And a lot of times they say, yeah, I know the answer now because I went through, you know, hell and back to figure it out. And you don't have to spin the wheels the same way that they did.
Right.
You know?
And so when we talked about the transcendent leader school is experience, and that's what the younger people have to learn. They have to understand that you can't know some things without experience. That's what you had to go through. Mm-hmm. Now, the last years, you've got the experience. Now you have the experience and this. Now, holy shit, let's get David. David will take care of it. Let's find out that, what does David got to say about this? That's exactly what you see happening in the company.
Yeah.
Why? Because Patrick and I aren't stupid. We don't know this. Let's get David on a thing. He'll know it. And stuff like that. And now you have enough experience with dealing with conflict and dealing with people and dealing with, you know, things. You could have all the technology experience in the world. If you don't have that experience, then you still don't know how to lead. That's just time, though. You see, there is no degree that teaches inspiration, caring, and compassion. You have to have experience to get that. You have to learn conflict resolution. You have to be, you know, your leadership has to be based on purpose, inspiration, caring, and compassion. These are the elements that creates that leader that people want to follow, but it's also the elements that create for a happy life,
yeah,
a fulfilled life. That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. Links are right below the show notes. As always, until next time, stay inspired.